home as well. Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read verse number 1, please. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you, to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And we do look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. I've preached on Genesis chapter 22 on quite a number of occasions. It's a very rich and a very deep passage, and there's so much in it. There's so much to thrill us and so much to challenge us, and such a blessing it can be. F.B. Meyer said, so long as men live in the world, they will turn to this story with unwanted interest, unwaning interest. Another has written, this chapter in Exodus 12 are the greatest and most detailed gospel pictures in the Old Testament. I remember preaching on it many times, as I said, and I looked at the worship of the saint. You'll discover in this passage that the first mention of worship is found in the Bible. If you want to know about worship, well, there's great lessons here in Genesis chapter 22. We could talk about the wonder of a sacrifice. And of course, in this chapter, we see Isaac, to begin with, as a wonderful type of Christ, willingly going to the place of sacrifice. We could talk about the walk of the servant, and we get into this later on. Of course, there's Abraham and how Abraham was obedient, and we see the great faith of Abraham being asked to sacrifice his own son. We could talk about the winning of a sinner, because Isaac is a type of Christ to begin with, but he becomes a type of a sinner. Because you remember that rather than Isaac dying on the altar, the ram took his place. And if you're not saved this morning, Christ has taken that place on Calvary's cross. As Sam has told us this morning, the price has been paid in full. And all you have to do is come and trust him as your own and personal Savior. This chapter, like no other, gives us a glimpse of the relationship between the Father and the Son, God the Father and God the Son, as Christ died on that cross. How can we think of it from the Father's perspective? Remember, there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. You see in verse 5, the Abraham and Isaac go together, just alone, the two of them. The two of them together. There's things that happened at Calvary that are between God the Father and God the Son. When that darkness is there, when God laid on him, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why we sometimes sing, Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. But we're doing a series on Isaac. And so I want to look at this from Isaac's perspective this morning. I want to see Isaac's devotion here. I want to see a father's exhibition here. And then I want to finish with Isaac's question this morning. I've entitled this message, A Father Worth Following. A father. But we could just talk about a parent worth following. Indeed, even though this is a father and son relationship, of course, all our relationships should be that there should be an impact of my life upon others who know me. I should be a magnet attracting people to Christ. I should be a magnifying glass, magnifying Christ in my life, that others might take note that I've been with Jesus. And so I'm going to talk very much about fathers, but of course this applies to mothers and brothers and sisters and all of us who know and love the Lord this morning. But I'm thinking especially of fathers this morning, or even parents this morning, the psalmist said in Psalm 127, verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he begiveth his beloved sleep. And he goes on to talk about children being inheritance of the Lord. And we can work our fingers to the bone, trying to give our children what we think they need. And perhaps we neglect to give them the things they really need. That love, that care, that attention, that spiritual blessing that they need to see in your life and in my life. I read about a supersonic plane. Sometimes these illustrations, you're never sure how true they are, but it was going so fast that it fired a shot, and it went so fast that it actually hit itself. Sometimes we're so busy, we're nearly shooting ourselves in the foot. We're so busy with so many things, we're perhaps not concentrating on the things that our children really need. You know, the book of Proverbs and indeed other scriptures tell us a lot about what happens to children who go astray. And let me say this to begin with. Not every time a child goes astray, you can't blame the parents. I want to make that clear. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. Don't take me up wrong this morning. Because you can have a godly mum and a godly dad. I believe Samson had both. And yet Samson went astray. So I'm not saying that this morning, but you and I are responsible for how we live before our children. You see, Proverbs talks about a son being a grief to his mother. Proverbs 10 verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Again, Proverbs 15 verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction. Again, Proverbs 17 verse 1, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Proverbs 19 verse 13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Proverbs 19 verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. None of us would want to rear children that would somehow bring disgrace to the family. And let me say again, and we could often use Adam and Eve as the example. Adam and Eve had three sons. You will know Cain, you will know Abel, you will know Seth. You will know that two of the sons were godly men, and one became a murderer. And all three had the same parents, brought up in the same home, with the same opportunities. So I'm not trying to get parents to beat themselves up this morning. But I want to ask myself the question, am I a father worth following? And dads that are here this morning and dads that are absent, if you're watching from home, I want you to ask the question, are you a father worth following this morning? Let's look at Isaac's devotion here, and we trust this will become clear as we progress this morning quickly. Genesis 22, verse 6. I want to say, think about Isaac's devotion. Let me think about the age of Isaac at this time. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them went together. Don't think of Isaac as a child. Isaac was able to carry the wood. He was able to travel 3 days. In the next chapter, Sarah is 127. That means in the next chapter, Isaac would be 37 years of age. Most commentators believe that Isaac is probably about 20. Some suggest he was 33, the same age as Christ when he went to Calvary, which would be a wonderful type. We can't be absolutely sure, but he's not a toddler, he's not an infant. He's a young man that could say no. And he's a young man that could stand up to his father. And he's a young man who could disobey what his dad wanted him to do. He's not knee-height at this time. Think about the age of Isaac. Think about the accompaniment of Isaac. I want you to see Isaac walking alongside his dad. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went on to the place which God had told him of. I want you to see the both of them going together here. Look at verse 6 as well. We have this phrase. And they went, both of them, together. Look at verse number 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Here's a young man. Remember, he's not a baby. He's not an infant. Here's a young man, and he's walking side by side with his father. We could say that he's walking in his father's footsteps. And again, that begs me to ask the question, if my children are walking in my footsteps, where am I taking them to? Where am I taking them to? Abraham, at this time, is walking according to the word of God and to the will of God. We know that from verses 1 and 2. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And so you can see that Abraham is walking according to the will of God, and here's the son walking side by side. Every step that Abraham would take, Isaac took it beside him. So you can see the age. He's not a toddler. You can see the accompaniment. Then we come to the altar. Look at verse number 9. I've never preached it like this before. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him in the altar upon the wood. Now, there's not a word of complaint of Isaac. There's no argument. There's no fight. There's no dispute here. Isaac willingly went to the altar. His dad said, Isaac, get up on the altar. And Isaac would have known what an altar is. We'll see that in a moment. There's no twisting, there's no arguing. He's following his father's footsteps. And if his father says something, he takes it on board. And he's doing exactly what his dad has asked him to do. Here's a wonderful picture of Christ, of course. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so open not his mouth. Christ never complained when he was heading to Calvary. No reluctance. He willingly set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Do you see the willingness of Isaac here? He didn't fight. He didn't run. He didn't rebel. Why? I believe it was the testimony of his father. I believe Isaac could see his dad as such a man of God. If dad asks me to do this, then I know he knows what he's doing. Such was the testimony that old Abraham had among the people of God and particularly among his children. You see the willingness of Isaac. Someone has said this. The willing of Isaac to be bound and placed on the altar when he was old enough to easily have resisted Abraham makes Isaac's submission so great in this episode that if it had not been for the greater performance of Abraham in the story, Isaac would have been the hero of this story. Leupold says this, conviction. Usually too little consideration is given to Isaac's heroism. Which if it were not for the marvelous faith and heroism of his father at this time, could justly be classed as among the mightiest acts of faith. That's where I'm coming from this morning. I want you to see a dad and a son walking side by side. Every step the dad took, the son was there. And the son looked up to the dad and he trusted him and he wanted to follow in his footsteps. Do you see Isaac's devotion? Let me talk secondly about Abraham's exhibition. I want to suggest that what Isaac saw in the life of his father led him not to question what his dad had asked him to do. I also want to suggest that this wasn't a one-off experience. I believe this was typical in the life of Abraham from Isaac was born. I think Isaac as a young boy growing up, as he left the tens into the teens and probably into the 20s now, I believe Abraham had such a consistent life before him that Isaac doesn't question what's going on. He really was a father worth following. Now, if you think I'm stretching it, go back a few chapters to Genesis 18. Don't worry, I'm not going to delay you. I just want you to see this for yourself. Look at Genesis 18, verse 17. This is the chapter where the Lord comes to Abraham. He's going to tell him about what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah in the next chapter, chapter 19. But look at Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? You know, God didn't keep secrets from Abraham. Abraham trusted God, and God could trust Abraham. But why could he trust him? Look at verse 19. For I know him. Let me say, fathers, God knows you. Mums, God knows you. Fathers-to-be, mums-to-be, God knows you. He says, I know him. God knows all about us. He knows what we are in the home. He knows how we treat our wives. He knows how we live before our children. Look at verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God says that Abraham has a testimony in the home. God says Abraham is a man who really cares about his children. A man who wants to teach them. Do you see how it's put in verse 19? He wants to teach them the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. No wonder he was a father worth following. So the question comes back to you and I this morning. Am I or you a father worth following? Isaac could see something special about his dad. Let's get back to Genesis chapter 22. I say I'm going to do this very quickly but faithfully this morning. We're thinking of Abraham's exhibition. You see the testing in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. You see the word for tempt there. We always think of temptation as being a solicitation to evil. Well, we read in James 13, let no man, James 1 verse 13, let no man say when he was tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. God never tempts you to sin. But the word temptation and the word test are the same word. God tests you. Temptation is to pollute us and weaken us. Testing is to purify and strengthen us. Temptation offers immediate pleasure and gain. Testing brings immediate pain and loss. Temptation seems reasonable to the flesh and appeals to the flesh, but testing does neither. Warren Wiersbe said this, in the school of faith, we must have occasional tests or we will never know where we are spiritually. Abraham, the father of Isaac, was in the school of faith, and therefore we should not be surprised to read of his being tested. Isaac had a father who had real faith. You know, he'd been tested in the past. Genesis 21 verse 10, we looked at this last week, I think it was. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Look at verse 11 in Genesis 21. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight. God asked Abraham to do something grievous. Something painful. Has God asked you to do something painful? Has God asked you to part with something and it's too painful? Some hobby, some sin, some relationship. Something that's clouding your relationship with the Lord. And this is what was happening to Abraham, and God asked him to do it. And you know, Abraham trusted the Lord and he did it. He really trusted God. His faith was being tested and he proved the Lord. During lockdown, I believe the faith of God's people has been tested. I wonder what our children saw. Did they see parents who trusted the Lord in spite of the difficulty? Did we stand up and say, if this is God's will, we'll get through it. And we'll take it every step of the way and we'll take it a day at a time. And we're trusting God for today and we're going to trust God for tomorrow. Did our children see a mum and a dad? Did our work colleagues, did our friends see someone who trusted God in spite of all that we're going through? You see, I believe Isaac could see a dad who was tested and his faith shone through. He says, there's a man that I can follow. He was a father worth following. He didn't buckle. He didn't bend. He didn't budge. He didn't complain. You see not only the testing, you see the growing. Look at Genesis 22 verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. You see, there's an emphasis here. There's a uniqueness. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Ishmael's not even in the picture. Whom thou lovest. There was no question of Abraham loving him. The Lord records that Abraham loved Isaac. And offer him therefore a burnt offering. You see, there was a uniqueness, there was something unquestionable and something unbearable. Here's the point I want to make very simply. If parting with Ishmael was painful, what would parting with Isaac not be like? Isaac was the promised seed. Isaac was born of a miracle. And to part with Ishmael was hurtful. But to part with Isaac, this was worse. What did Isaac see when his dad? Isaac could see a man whose faith was growing. Because he'd been tested. And now he was being more severely tested. And Abraham was going to get through this test. He was going to stand for the Lord. He was going to do what God wanted him to do. What Isaac could see is a dad who was growing in the faith. And again, we come back to me and you, don't we? Are we growing or are we slowing? Are we moving? Are we reversing? Are we increasing or are we decreasing? Do your children see more of Christ in you now than they did last week or last year? We're coming to the end of another year in the will of the Lord. Are we more like Christ now than we were a year ago? Do you see what I'm trying to get across this morning? You see, here was a young man that walked step by step beside his dad. Because of the testing, because of the growing, and of course, because of the obeying. Look at verse 3 in Genesis 22. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Do you remember what God had asked him to do? God had asked him to take his only son and to sacrifice his son. And here's Abraham up early in the morning to do what God asked him to do. Tell me, have you taken a lie in when it comes to obeying God? You see, some of the greatest men of God were men who got up early. Moses, Joshua, David, Hezekiah, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself arose up early to do what the Father wanted them to do. There was no lying in when it came to obeying the Lord. Has God asked you to do something? Is there something in your life that's not pleasing to the Lord and you've put it off? And you've put it off and you've put it off. Has God asked you to do something that's painful? And you've slept in on it. And the alarm is sounding this morning and God says it's time to get up and obey. You see, here was a father who obeyed. Matthew Henry said, while we delay, time is lost and the heart is hardened. The psalmist said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You know, Abraham in Genesis 21, we've read it already, we read again that he rose up early in the morning. See what it says in verse 2. And he said, take now. Take now. And now meant now to Abraham. Are you intending to obey the Lord someday? But not today. Here was a father worth following. You see the testing. You see the growing. You see the obeying. And I've used the word sticking. It's not a great word, but at least it rhymes. The word commitment's better. Look at verse 4 in Genesis 22. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place thereof. Remember, Isaac's not a baby. Isaac's watching this. Abraham continued until he saw the place that God had spoken of. Can you imagine day one? As you're walking side by side, you're obeying the Lord. It's painful, it's costly. And day one, maybe not so bad. Day two, it's getting a wee bit harder. Day three, would you have given up? You see, one of the things we miss, or one of the things that's lacking in many of God's people is commitment. Commitment. I thank God there's so many here who are committed. But I think some and their commitment maybe isn't great. But here was a daddy whose commitment you could count on. He didn't give up on day one. He didn't give up on day two. He didn't give up on day three. He was going to the place where the Lord had asked him to go. Young Isaac could see a dad who would stick to it. And a dad who was committed. and he was a father worth following. You see the testing and the growing and the obeying, the sticking. And we could talk about the trusting and believing. Look at verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, I beg ye here with the ass, and I, the lad, will go yonder and come again unto you. How did Abraham think he would come again? Was he not going to go and kill Isaac on the altar? Surely he would come back, but Isaac wouldn't be with him. If we take exactly what's going to happen here, he says, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Do you know what Abraham's showing here? He believed the word of God. God said that he was going to give them a seed. Genesis 17 verse 19. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Hebrew writer puts it like this. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise and offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead. Abraham didn't know how God was going to do it. But Abraham knew that Isaac would be the seed, and through Isaac would come the Messiah. And even though he was asked to put the knife into Isaac's heart and to kill Isaac, he didn't know how God was going to do it. But he had enough faith, and he believed and he trusted in the word of God. He was a father worth following, wasn't he? Tell me, dads, what do you think of the word of God? What does this Bible mean to you? Do your children see your nose in the book? Do your children know that here's a daddy who must love this book because he spends so much time in it? Here's a daddy who trusts in God, that God's able to do it, who believes the word of God. And Abraham believed the word of God. And Isaac could look into his daddy's eyes and he said, here's a man who believes the word of God, and I'm happy to walk side by side with him. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Can you see why Isaac would walk side by side with his dad? Never questioned a thing. No arguments, no rebelling here. And I think young Isaac just looked into his dad, and nearly in his dad he saw God. He could see God living through Isaac, through Abraham. What a father. A father, surely, that was worth the following. You see the testing and the growing and the obeying and the sticking and the believing and the preparing. Look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. You know, when Abraham was going to serve the Lord, he didn't take it lightly. He was prepared. Everything was in order. There was preparation made. He just didn't turn up. He saw a dad who took service for the Lord seriously. He saw a dad who took service for the Lord sincerely. And if my dad is so serious about it, if my dad is so sincere about it, there must be something in it. Must be something in it. And he was a father who was worth a following. Through the testing and the growing and the obeying and the sticking and the trusting, the preparing and the very ordering. Tell me, has your faith been tested? Are you growing or are you stuck? Are you obeying the word of God, or is it marked by disobedience? Are you sticking? Is there commitment? Or are you a quitter? Do you trust the Lord? Does your faith shine through? Are you believing in the Lord? Are you prepared? Do you put effort into the service for the Lord? Are things in your life done decently and in order? Remember how he set everything in order? You see Isaac's devotion. You see Abraham's exhibition. Then we see Isaac's question. We're nearly finished. Look at verse 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So the both of them went together. Couldn't we say so much about God will provide himself a lamb? Not just a lamb, but himself a lamb. Prophetically, challengingly. Where is the lamb? Where is the Lamb when it comes to worship today? Where is the Lamb when it comes to your life today? Where is the Lamb when it comes to this church today? Sinner today without Christ, where is the Lamb when it comes to your soul? But I want to think of it not prophetically or challengingly, domestically. Isaac's question, where is the Lamb, indicated that as a young boy, Abraham and Sarah must have taught him about the sacrifices. There must have been biblical teaching in the home for Isaac to ask the question, where is the Lamb? He knew all about sacrifices. He knew about the way to approach the Lord. And the psalmist said this, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Psalm 127 verse 4. So are the children of the youth. Our children are like little arrows. And I tried archery. I was in holidays a few years ago. I tried archery. I discovered something else I couldn't do. But you all know about bow and arrow, and you know what an arrow is, and our children are like little arrows, and we shape them and we point them, and there comes a point we have to let them go. And we have a limited amount of time and influence with those little arrows to shape them and to point them, and to point them in the right direction. I know winds of adversity can blow them off course. Here's what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That word diligently means accurately. We are to sharpen our children with truth. That's why Sunday school is so important. I thank God, and I have done all through my life as a young parent. I thank God for Sunday school teachers willing to come Lord's Day by Lord's Day to put their life into my children. I thank God for Bible class teachers. I thank God for those who work with the youth in the church who are willing to pour their lives into my children. And of course, there's a responsibility at home as well, a greater responsibility that we would shape and have our children pointed in the right direction. There comes a day, listen, we're practically empty nesters now. I know what I'm talking about. When you point them and you let them go. And we have to have done, with the help of God, the best that we can do to point them in the right direction. And here's a young boy saying, where is the Lamb? I'll tell you, his dad had taken time to teach him the things of God. He was a father worth following. Do you remember what was said of Timothy? 2 Timothy 3 verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, known from whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It's always great. It's great to hear the children in good use of quoting Scripture. Great to hear Sunday school. I get a wee message in the morning. They're learning the books of the Bible. Great to have a place where children are taught and they learn the Word of God. And they're taught to the old-fashioned way, quoting the Scripture. And I'll tell you, the King James Version is the only one you can learn. You tried one of the modern ones, you haven't a hope. Haven't a hope. It allows itself to be one that you can learn and you can quote. And some of these verses the children will never forget. Never forget. Here was a home where obviously Isaac had been taught, like Timothy was taught, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me ask the question this morning. Would your children say, where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb when it comes to your home? You know, in glory, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Heaven's going to be centered around the Lamb. If you want your home to be like heaven, let the Lamb have the preeminence in your home. I'm finished. Thank you for your patience with me this morning. I often finish a message like this with a little poem. There are little eyes upon you, and they are watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll just be like you. You're the little fellow's idol, you're the wisest of the wise. And his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devotedly, holds that all you do and say and do He will say and do in your way when he grows up just to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right. And his ears are always opened and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up just to be like you. Am I, are you, a father worth following this morning? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the challenge of it. And Lord, we may have been emphasizing fathers, but Lord, this is true of mums, it's true of dads, it's true of grandparents, it's true of brothers and sisters, and Lord, even in the workplace. Are we a believer that's worth following? So Lord, we do pray that you would speak unto all of our hearts. Lord, we want that every child that would ever come into this assembly, that we'll be able to say from a child, they have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make them wise unto salvation. So Lord, bless the families in this church. Bless the mums to be. We pray, Lord, your hand will be upon them. Keep them safe in these days. And Lord, we look to thee to save precious young souls connected with this place. For it's in and through our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn for closing this morning is number 36. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, please. 1, 2, and 4, the first, the second, and the fourth verse. We're standing to sing. I'll close in prayer. I'll ask Joshua if he'll go to the main door, and I'll take the door at the side just as you leave if you're not staying for the Lord's table. Number 36, verses 1, 2, and 4, and we're standing to sing. Thank you.